spit to the beat. Podcast. Oh. It's all about inside the music industry.
Nobody do it better. And welcome to Spit to the Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Stacey, a.k.a. Be Unstoppable Perya. Join us right now on Facebook, but definitely go on our YouTube. We are live in full effect this evening. Got a very special guest waiting to come on the show, but go to my YouTube at Spit to the Beat. Log in, sign in, hit that notification bell so you can keep up with all my latest episode, the new episode, as well as the latest one. You can go view every episode on my YouTube channel at Spit, the number 2, DABEAT. Thank you so much for being a part of being a listener and a sponsor of Spit to the Beat Podcast. Look, I got a very special guest. He's a native born here in Memphis, but now reside in Arizona. So we're going to get him on right now. My guest this evening is Kenny Slim. Hey.
Hey, what's up? What's up, man? How you doing, Stacey?
I'm doing great. How you doing, brother?
I am awesome, man. Highly favored. Blessed and highly favored.
Great. Glad to finally get you in on the podcast. I was super excited when I talked to Bob about you, and I said, man, I got to get this man on my show. So to hear all about his story in the music industry.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you having me on, man. It really means a lot.
Cool. Hey, give us a little detail, a little history about yourself for my audience.
Kenny Slim, Memphis, Tennessee, born and raised. Over, 25 years or so in the music industry. Singer, songwriter, producer, arranger, actor, done some modeling. Just a really extensive history in entertainment overall. And, I'm still here kicking, man, still alive and well. Working on some new material, excited about that, excited for the people to hear it and represent for the M-Town, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Cool. Look, let's dive right into it, man. What got you started? What was your inspiration getting into the music industry? I mean, was it from a icon that you seen on TV or someone, you grew up knowing just helped you to fall in love into the music?
Well, I when I was young, 10, 11, whatever, I used to just hum, nothing real singy, I didn't really know that I had the voice. My dad was a singer and his dad was a singer, but I never correlated that with me. And I don't know, man, just singing around, humming around, and a couple of people noticed, hey, you got a pretty decent voice. And at this time I was in the church and whatnot. So, I was asked to join the choir. And when I joined the choir, that's when I really began to notice, my voice was special, and I began developed it more and more, began to do solos and different things like that. And, once I seen that people were like feeling my singing, then I just, I started doing some more things. So I got into talent shows and different things like that. So, yeah, just early on, man, 12, 13 years old, right in that little impressionable stage, and found the love for it, and I hadn't let go, So, yeah.
So with your transition from Memphis, let's go up, I guess, a little of age, the transition from Memphis to Arizona, how did that come about?
Man, that's a big transition. I mean, we're skipping a lot, right, lot of space in between.
I promise we're gonna come back.
So me moving out to Arizona, if I'm being completely honest and transparent with you, it was for me to say, hey, I did my music thing, I had a blast, record deals, touring, worked with a bunch of different artists, so from Tank to Adasa to, I mean, Gerald LaVert, you know, some writing and production for a lot of people. And it was pretty extensive music career. And when I moved out to Arizona, for me, at that point, I was just like, well, I'll just fall back. You know what I mean? So throughout this entire time, or as of late for the last 10 years or so, I've been writing and producing for Warner Brothers the entire time. So I've been writing and producing for different artists and producing different things for CDs and stuff that they've been releasing. So I've still been active doing that. And like I said, my idea was to just kind of push back and then just, you know, write and produce and whatnot. But some cats from out here heard some of my production. They heard me singing on the hooks and they was like, hey, what you think about if I buy this song with this hook on it, will you come out and perform with me at these different events and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, man, cool. If I got the time, I'll do it. That turned into me working on some of the more current music that I did and working and producing with a lot of artists out here. And, you know, just when I tried to move out here and just try to fall back and do something else, man, it came right back in my face. You know what I mean? So it's like that, divine answer is always chiming. Like even when, not that I was trying to put it to bed, but I was like, hey, I don't have to be on the stage. You know what I mean? If you know the music industry, if you know the music business, you make the money is in the writing and production. You know what I mean?
When
and that kind of thing, right? Until you start working on touring and that kind of thing, but you got to get some traction and get some, you know, some good booking gigs and get you a good song, obviously. And then you can start, you know, eating from an artist side. So that's great. Yeah.
So let's do backtrack a little bit in the time you signed with your first record deal. You was in a group at that time.
Yeah.
Tell us about the group and the name of the group and the record deal that y'all signed. And how did that process go?
So it was me. Well, the name of the group is Kadav. It's K-A-D-O-V. It's Kenny Allen Dedrick Original Voices. So that's where the Kadav comes from. When we first started, it was five of us. And this was in high school, you know what I mean? So all of us met in high school and we started doing talent shows and we did a couple of commercials for a couple of clothing stores. And, you know, we were moving around. We were touring, doing stuff with Blackstreet and a couple of the artists that were out at the time.
Okay.
And, just touring and doing that. And then over time, the group melted down to the three. Me, Allen, and Dedrick. So that's where you get Kenny, Allen, Dedrick, Original Voices.
Gotcha.
Let me turn my phone down, my G. Hold on 1 second, because people are probably seeing me live and are starting to call my phone now, which is not cool.
Hey, I have had that happen to me too.
Not cool at all. Okay. Anyway, so me, Allen, and there's a few things that I'm skipping, which are, you know, there's like some key things that, you know, when we were the full group or when it was four of us, we did have a record deal on the table with Timberland. And his record label, B Club, through Sylvia Rome. And that deal ended up falling through. And, you know, that was, you know, I mean, it's Timbo. You know what I mean? Yeah. So
was that a little hurtful?
Yeah, man, it was. I mean, it was like, man, that kind of took the steam out of what we were doing at the time. You know what I mean? Yeah. We had so much time, blood, sweat, and tears and energy into, you know, getting something real. That was a real thing. And that fell through because one of the guys just, you know, we just didn't see eye to eye on a few things. So we just decided to go our separate ways. And at that point, it was me, Alan, and Dedrick. And, you know, we decided to kind of keep moving. We ended up recording some music like Country Boy and a couple other records. And that got into the hands of Wendell Brown. Rest in peace, Wendell B. Great R&B singer, man. He toured, put out a lot of music in the South, man. Wend is a class act. You know, I will say that. He passed last year, man, and you know, that hurt. But you know, rest in peace, Big Wend. But he got our music through a guy from Chicago named Jamil. And he liked what we had going on. He came out to Memphis to meet us. And him and his cousin, Jahidi White. Jahidi is an NBA player or you know, ex-NBA player. He played in the league for the Washington Wizards. He played for the Phoenix Suns and, you know, a couple other teams, you know what I mean? So they decided to come together and put a record label together. And you know, that's how Cuzzo came to be. We ended up signing with them, and we recorded two albums with them, did some great things. But when things stopped moving, I would say, by that time we were in Atlanta and, you know, everybody got kids and different things going on. So he was like, yo, maybe we just need to take a break for a minute. And I stayed in Atlanta. AC was Allen. He moved back to Memphis, and Dedrick moved back to Memphis as well. I just didn't want to come back to Memphis, man. It was one of them scenarios where I'm like, yo, like, not that I felt like I would come back to the town and be like, man, I ain't make it or
I understand what you're saying.
Or
yeah.
I didn't get what I had set out for, but I just felt like it was more work for me to do. And I had already, you know, I did everything in Memphis, man. So I just felt like it was, you know, needed me going back to Memphis because I knew everything in Memphis. I know what's happening in the M. So I just like, man, I want to, you know, see what else is happening, man, out in the world. It's a big old world out here. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Okay. Look, hold tight. What we're going to do, we're going to come back. I'm going to take a quick break, but we're going to come back and talk about your producing process and what you go through as far as producing in the studio and things like that, as well as we're going to touch on the two songs I talked about. Okay?
Okay. Cool.
You're listening to Spit to the Beat podcast with your host, the one, the only, Stacey B. Unstoppable Pertier.
Hey, this is Stacey, a.k.a. B. Unstoppable Pertier with Spit to the Beat podcast. Would you like to be my guest if you're a singer, songwriter, musician, producer, or promoter? Give me a call at 901-341-6777 or email me at myguest@spittothebeat.com. And we're back to Spit to the Beat podcast. I'm your host, Stace, a.k.a. B. Unstoppable Pertier. And we are live in the studio, the virtual studio, with my guest, joining me all the way from Arizona, Kenny Slim. How you doing, man? How you doing? How you doing?
I'm doing great, Stacey. I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great.
Look, let's talk about your producing style.
Okay.
They already come in talking about we're going to hear something tonight. Okay, yeah. We get ready to play some music.
How many songs did I send you? I forgot. I mean, it was probably...
You sent me a lot. I had to make a choice. But
my apologies for sending you so much. But, man, you know how you get to listening to music?
Yeah, and, exactly.
You hear them old jams, and you're just like, oh, I got to send them this. Oh, he got to hear this one, though. Oh, this is, you know what I mean? So,
and when you said enjoy the listen, I knew what you were talking about then because you had sent me a plethora of songs.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, man, that's so much music. Just let me tell them, hey, I know I hit you with a lot. I don't know if you're going to have a chance to even listen through all of it to like really absorb it, but please do check it out because, man, put a lot of that music that you're hearing is from like early days when we first started recording, you know what I mean? I still got a whole lot of, obviously I got a lot of the music because I sent it to you, right? Mm-hmm. But That's some of our early recordings, and you know, you if you listen to it, you can hear the progression of the production and the vocals and the writing and all of that up to the more current stuff. The more current stuff is the last email that I sent you. It's kind of that, you know, it's really good, man. You know, I'm just proud of it.
What we're going to have to do, we're going to have to do a double take. I'm going to have to get you back on the show. We're just going to dive into the current stuff. Because I really didn't know at the time which one to choose from. You sent me so much. And I'm like, man, I got to listen to everything.
Yeah.
Hey, it's all good, though. It's all good.
Yeah, right.
Look, about your process, as far as you getting in the studio and you producing and writing and songwriting music, what is your process in going into doing that?
So I'm a groove kind of cat, you know what I mean? I love live instrumentation. So anytime I hear anything with live instrumentation and a groove, a step to it, or, you know what I mean, it's got a kind of groovy jam to it, then it's easy for me to write lyrics like that, and melodies. Like, I'm really fast with melodies. And then even if it's me like humming a melody, I could do that to a beat, and then it just marries the beat from a melody perspective. I could take that, record just me humming, whatever, and then I'll go back and then I'll put the lyrics to it. You know what I mean? So that's that's probably one of my favorite things to do. The reason I like doing that is because I don't like to rush the production. I don't like to rush the lyrics. I like to get the melody out. So if I'm hearing a melody to something and it's catchy, that's what I don't want to lose. I don't want to lose the melody that I catch from the beat when I first hear it. So if I hear something, I try to go in, and if I catch some lyrics right then, cool. But what I don't want to lose is the groove. So if I listen to a track and I catch a groove to it, I'll pop out my phone and just, you know, hum a couple of bars or blah, blah, blah. That way I got something to work with and then build from there.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Let's check out Country Boys.
Okay. Country Boys is a record that was written by me, Alan, and
Okay.
7 years, things ain't really changed down here. Trying to break these chains.
Get these shackles off my feet.
That's holding me down. See, it's hard to rise with all these snakes on the ground, but I keep striving, trying to hold back my tears, let down throughout my teenage years. But I'm striving real hard, and I'm staying on the grind. I'll never be a country boy until it's my time.
History. All right, all right. Man, that's bumping, man. That's bumping.
Thank you.
You can feel the vibe. You can feel the groove. You can feel everything in that, man. That's a jam that you come home. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Talk about it, man.
Right on. No, hey, so man, this when we wrote this record, right? This was right after the deal didn't go through with Timberland.
Okay.
So, you know, our mentality at that point, because we had been in New York, we had moved from Memphis to New York. That's how we ended up landing the deal with Timberland. And we was in New York for maybe 2 years. And, you know, New York, New Jersey, Newark, Orange, all up through there. Shout out to Sean Hunter, Stardom Entertainment, is my close guy. Still working, write and produce with him to this day. He produced a lot of records on us. Met him out there. Gerald Isaac, another killer producer in the game. Did a lot of production for Joe and Gerald LaVert and a couple other cats. Got some connects with Dre. And, you know what I mean? So we did a lot of work out there. And you know, when the deal didn't go through with Timbaland, man, we you know, like I said, that took a little steam out the sail. So we all came back to Memphis at that point. And we were just me, Allen, and Dedrick was like, man, we just can't stop. You know what I mean? Like, we got too close to what we had been shooting for to just let it go. And that was the first song we wrote, man, sitting in my house and, man, put that beat on. And the lyrics just came. We just wanted to come just some country boys, just gutter and just from the South. And, you know, just some good old country boys, man. You know, man, we just trying to do our thing. It's all in the lyrics. You know what I'm saying?
Y'all recorded this song in New York or before y'all went to New York?
Nah, we recorded this after we got back from New York.
Okay.
Yeah. So when we went to New York, you know, we were doing a bunch of cover tunes and then some other records that we had, you know what I mean? Like Call the Police, Trouble Man, and, you know, them other records, some of them other records. That was those records that that Nat Trax, my guy out of New Jersey, produced. So we were doing those in the different little spots around the city. Then we got, that's how we met Barry Hankerson and everybody at Black Ground Records. And that's who was going to get behind us to do the deal with Timbaland. Okay. Black Ground was, you know, that. So you, Black Ground, you're talking about Timbaland, Genuine, Aaliyah, you know, like it was all happening right then. And yeah, so that fell through. And then we came back to Memphis and then we wrote Country Boys, just because we just wanted to get back to our roots, you know what I mean? And let everybody know, like, hey man, you know, we the truth, you know what I mean? And regardless of anybody, how anybody feel about it, and, you know, we just want to be honest and raw about who we are and what we're doing. And that's where country, that's like the essence of where it came from.
Cool. Let's dive right on into, you just spoke of Call the Police. Now, when I read the title, I like to say, Call the Police. You sure right about that? In Memphis, we need to call the police. With all this crime going on.
But hey, again, and hey, now look, I love the town. I love the town, man. But it is a lot going on in Memphis, man. And I pray things just, you know, get better, you know what I mean? And it's going to take some work. And from every spectrum, you know what I mean? From politicians, the mayor and police chief and the different people that are in position, along with the people on the streets, you know what I mean? And I feel like it's just it's like the connection is not being made, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where it needs to be made in order for real change to happen. And, you know, I mean, because I see all of it. Like, I see people in higher places saying they want change and different things to happen. And right. Then I'm not following and stalking nobody on social media or nothing like that. So I don't really know if that's really happening. And then at the same contrast, I got people from my neighborhood that are grassroots rooted and just getting it out of the mud, trying to do some things and not getting no support for the people here. So I think it needs to be a bridge and a gap in order to really affect the city in a positive way.
Well, hopefully with the new mayor, we'll get some things done, get this crime under control. Yes, sir. Let's go ahead into this song, Call the Police.
Yes, sir. Turn it up.
FBI, y'all got rights to read to this man and the other. Better half of me, put the cuffs on and give them time for hurting me. Y'all in poverty. When I turned the key, I saw the suspect giving love that belonged to me. I just can't believe she would fall deep in lust, take advantage of my trust. Somebody please
call the police.
5-0 doesn't matter.
Please, somebody.
I need help.
There's more than a plan. Boy, she needs to be behind. I see.
Please.
Man, once again, let's give it up for my boy Kenny Slim in the building, baby, bringing the house down with these vibes, man, these sofa vibes and
yes, sir,
great music, great harmony, all of that in those music, in those songs. Look, before we get into it, when I take another quick break, we'll come back.
Okay,
I'm gonna talk a little bit about you, what you got going on, new projects. Stuff like that, okay?
Okay, let's do it.
Thank you for listening to Spit to the Beat podcast. Want to know how you can help? Be a sponsor by going to our website at www.spittothebeatpodcast.com and click the support tab. You can also join us each and every week live at YouTube at Spit to the Beat. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and follow. Thank you for your support.
And we're back to Spit to the Beat podcast. I'm your host, Stacey, a.k.a. B. Unstoppable Perrier, and joining me virtually in the studio all the way from Arizona, my guy, R&B singer, artist, songwriter, composer, that and more, yeah. Kenny Slim. Yeah, welcome back, bro.
Thank you, man. Look, thank you.
Great. Look, let's talk about what you got going on in 2024. What's the goals for the year?
So, I run a business. I'm an entrepreneur. So, obviously growing the business and keep that going. Shout out to Express Cargo Nation, LLC, one of the biggest trucking companies out here in Phoenix, Arizona. We making moves. Thank Most High for that. Gold Standard Transport. Just doing a little plug, and this is another one of my business, man.
Go ahead.
Me and my business partners are out here. We got a non-emergency medical transport business that we got going. So some great things happening there as well. And, as far as this music goes, man, I got to shout out my homegirl, Visha, for always being ride or die. You know what I mean? She always been looking out. And, me and Visha came up in the same neighborhood together. So, you know, when you got real authentic love for people that you like really rock with, you keep the connection tight and, you just make things happen. And she reached out to me regarding some music that Bob Wimbush was putting together. He had some lyrics and an idea that he wanted to turn into a song, essentially. And Visha thought about me, and she hit me up and was like, hey, I got this record that Bob wants to turn into a song. See what you can do with it. And I worked on that, and I ended up coming to Memphis and then getting in the studio with Hot Rod, and Hot Rod paid me a couple of beats, and I found one that made sense to me that just matched the lyrics that I had. Mm-hmm. So I had to finish writing. You know, what I had was just really a skeleton. It wasn't a song formatted in no kind of way, but got that and recorded that, man. So we're excited about that record right now. Think it's gonna be a big hit, and we're gonna keep it moving from there, man. Take that, crystallize that, put it out in the streets for the people to rock to, for the clubs to jam, for the DJs to spin, for the ladies and the fellas to dance to, two-step, three-step, two, you know what I mean? And move from there, you know what I mean? So
well, I can't wait to hear that one. I know Bob personally, so I can't wait to hear his song that you're gonna be that you have arranged. And are you going to be performing a song?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was wondering when you're gonna get back behind the mic. I know you said you want to.
So again, like Visha reached out to me and she's like, hey, I want you to work on it. So I was like, okay, cool. You want me to write it or whatnot? She was like, well, whatever. So when I came to Memphis, I had came out there on some business and I was like, yo, since I'm in town, let's get some studio time going. I'm here. I got the song, or at least I got, you know, like some lyrics and different things, but I really don't have a beat. Just because I didn't really have time to like produce a beat that I thought would work for it. So she contacted Hot Rod. I went to the studio with Hot Rod and then did it, man. And when I re-recorded like a slow version, like a more R&B version of it. And then and then we let Bob hear it. And Bob was like, I need something that they can dance to, Ken. Give me something that they can groove to. I like what you got, but I need something that can get them on the flow. I said, okay. So I went back to the studio and then was like, hey, Hot, play me some more beats. And then he played this one particular track that just worked. And it was easy. You know what I mean? Like I was telling you, like when you get that vibe, so when I caught the vibe from it, I was like, yo, that like play that. Okay. So I probably wrote the song, man. It probably took me 30 minutes to an hour. Mm-hmm. To like really work out all of the lyrics. So as I was writing the lyrics, I was going into the booth and then dropping it. So once I figured out how I wanted the hook to go, I went in and dropped, stacked the hook, stacked the vocals, the harmonies, blah, blah, blah. And then come back, listen to that. Okay, cool. Then I looked at some of the lyrics Bob had, and then I took a little bit of that and then pieced that together. Okay, cool. Added to that. Okay, now
put
I got
some a vocal on it.
Yeah, drop that. No, do that. Then did that with the second verse, and man, by the time we turned around, a couple hours later, the song was done, and everybody was in the studio, just you know, just grooving. So I'm like, "Yeah, this done." Visha was like, "You got to do this." I'm like, "What you mean?" She's like, "This you." I'm like,
oh, "You weren't ready for all that."
No, it wasn't again. You know what? Look. So to confirm what it is that I'm saying, like, cause I was, they know, like Visha and Hot knew that I was like, cause I haven't talked to him about it. Like, yo, I hadn't hit the stage in a little bit. It ain't like it been years and years and years, but again, just where I was and with business and the other things I had going on, I was like, you know, it's whatever. I'll help y'all work with it. But man, after they heard the song, even Hot was like, Ken, you might have to come on out of retirement, man. You might have to get gone and go full throttle with this one, man, because, you know, we feel like we got some, and the way you delivered it just makes sense, bro. It's just like your vibe and the way you just made it work. It makes sense the way you at. I'm like, all right, I'm all for it. If y'all in, I'm in. Let's do it. And then, you know, Bob, once he heard that he was all in, like, Ken, let's do this. I was like, all right, let's go.
And there you have it.
That's it. And like I said, man, the love for the music has always been there. It'll never go away. And you know, I guess it, man, it's just divine timing. You know what I mean? That, you know, it's just trippy, right? Because a year ago, almost a year to the date, I had sent Bob, because I know who Bob Wimbush is, man. OG in the game, been in in the town for years and years and years, right? When I reached out to Bob, man, like a year ago, and he didn't know who I was or nothing like that, but I had hit his inbox like, Bob, what's going on? I'm so-and-so, Kenny Slim. You know, I'm familiar with you, whatever, whatnot. I'm writing and producing. And I'm pretty sure you got something going on. If you're cooking or doing something with some artists, I'd love to be involved to some degree, whatever, let me know. You know what I'm saying? He's like, okay, cool. And then we never linked up. And once we did the song and all of that stuff, and then I guess once he checked his inbox, he was like, yo, you messaged me like a year ago.
Wow.
I was like, yeah, I remember that. And he was like, hey, it's about divine timing, man. It wasn't on our time. It was God's time.
And, right.
And, you know, hey, here we are.
Man, that's amazing.
Yeah.
How God moves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you said earlier in our conversation, you talked about your going through the process when you were signing the record deal and going through all that and how it fell through. But even beyond that, you came back, you stayed with it. And even today, to me, you're still with the music. I don't think you can get away from it. Like I said, either you're on one side, you behind the mic, or you're in front of the mic, some way music gonna find you, definitely if it's your passion and it's your love. With that being said, through your trial and error, what advice will you give for young up-and-coming artists who are trying to get their foot in the door and to avoid the pitfalls of the industry?
I would say, first and foremost, be authentic. Be authentically yourself. You can't be, you know, be you. I would say that. I mean, it is a copycat game that's out here, and it's enough of that. So I would say, first off, do it from the heart. Do it out of love, and then the money and everything else will come behind that. You know, like you just said, man, if you got a passion and a real love for it, some kind of way it'll find its way back to you. That's how it got back to me, you know what I'm saying? Even years and years and years later. And like I said, I never really walked away from the game. It was just, I was like, hey, I'll write and produce because people like my writing and production. So cool, I'll do that. But even when I tried to do that and just do that, cats heard the music and was like, yo, we need you to come perform. Like, we need you, we'll pay you. You got any original material? Can you come back and do a set by yourself? You know, like all of that kind of stuff, right? So it was just me at that point doing it out of the love. And of course I was making some money, residual monies and different things like that, but I never stirred away from being my authentic self. So I would say to anybody that's, you know, that's coming up and interested in doing it, you know, look for some mentors, you know, look for some mentors that are local that you can tap in with and, you know, start pulling information from them, pulling resources from them. Nothing is free, right? So,
right.
But that doesn't necessarily always mean you got to pay for it. You know what I mean? Like, figure out a way, if it's a producer you want to work with, and you know you ain't got the money to pay for studio time or to pay for his beat, man, you better humble yourself. Hey, man, I ain't got no bread right now. I feel like I'm dope as an artist or a singer or a songwriter or a producer or whatever the case may be. I want to work with you. Will you allow me to just, and is it anything I can do? Can I barter and trade with you? Can I come through and clean the studio up? Can I do any, you know what I mean? Anything to get some from you outside of it being a monetary exchange so that I can work with you because I like what you're doing. And then, you know, I want to be mentored because I'm young, I'm hungry, and I want to move in the music industry. And I feel like you'll be the person that'll help me. You'd be surprised at how many people will say, hey, young cat, come on, you know, just pull up. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
When you get here, don't say nothing. Sit there in the corner. If I ask you to do something, that's when you're moving. Outside of that, you chill, fall back, and then just be a student and soak the game up. That's what 9 times out of 10, that's what the producer gonna say. He ain't gonna be like, ah, bro, gone on somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, unless you just cold hearted or he got so much money to where it ain't happening like that. Now you can, the reason I say look for your local resources, because you'd be surprised at how many of your local resources and already put work in and they already in the game. So you try to overlook them by trying to reach out to these artists that's already popping and hot and all of those kind of things. That's cool, but it be them dudes that's right there next to you that you don't know that's eating in the game and they not moving like these other dudes. They not loud. You know what I mean? They not loud. Yeah. They themselves. They to themselves. They chilling, but they working. You know what I'm saying? So it takes you to be a student of the game and be authentic. And if you own it, you can be creative on how you want to act. It's only for obviously you can write. You there?
Yeah, I'm there. Yeah, I think we lost connection with you for a second. But
yeah,
but definitely.
I was saying you can definitely tap in with the people that's close. You know what I mean? I'm a fan of what do we always say? I'm a fan of the path of least resistance. Yeah. So what that means is the path of least resistance don't have a monetary value on it. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. This is like, hey, what can I make happen with as little money as possible? Not necessarily with as less effort, but what can I do to make it happen right now? And a lot of people are producing and recording and all of that stuff from their house. And that's fine and good. I got a pre-production studio in my crib too, you know, but yeah. I know the equipment that I got, I know what to do with it. So that's, you know, that's key right there. You know what I mean? My vocals are going to be crispy clean. So anywhere I send them to, you know what I mean? They're going to be like, okay, cool. I can work with Ken because at least what he send me, it's quality. It's on point. It ain't spiking. It ain't buzzing. It ain't a whole lot of stuff going on. He know what he's doing. So if you're going to do a pre-production or something at your house, just learn the equipment that you got. You don't need the most expensive. Definitely don't get the cheapest. You know what I mean? Get you some that's comparable to what everybody else is doing. And if you can't do that, at least know what you're doing with the equipment you got so that you can send the audio files and the different things accordingly. So that's just, you know, learn the business 101 when it comes to that.
Ken and Slim giving us valuable information to my artists and to those young artists, single songwriters that's trying to come up in the business.
Yeah.
Definitely need to hear this. Hey, before we go, what's your social media handles that people can find you?
Hey, man, everything at I Am Kenny Slim. That's on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. Get at Bisha. It's my girl. If you're trying to book me on any kind of shows or any other podcasts or some performances or anything like that, you can hit me in the inbox. I have to DM me. But I'm ready, willing, and able to work. I'm excited for everybody to hear this music that we getting ready to drop. It's called Sensitive Love. And yeah, man.
In a particular date?
We don't have a date set yet. I mean, we're still working out some of the some behind the scene particulars and whatnot. You know, you got to have the business right.
Right.
So we're getting the business right and making sure that the record is tight. So when it does come out, we'll be happy with it. And so that, you know, and then that will make sure that the public will be happy with it. It will be good. But everything at I Am Kenny Slim, man. Easy.
Awesome. Hey, man, thanks again for joining Spit to the Beat podcast. I appreciate you coming on and sharing your information, your story, your history, and everything like that with my audience. Hey, hold tight as I close out the show, okay?
All right.
Thank you for watching Spit to the Beat podcast. Join us again for another live episode next week.